All right, so we begin new section here, section of Hafrashas Chala. Now, this Hafrashas Chala seems like it's the most lemaisa of the next couple of sections, but it's actually followed by Hilchos Trumos, and Trumos is actually very long, because there's very the Torah says pretty much we don't worry about Trumos b'zman hazeh, but the Shulchan Aruch did. Rav Yosef Karo lived in Eretz Yisrael, therefore he did. So this is sort of the mitzvos teluyos ba'aretz section of Yerideya. Now there is actually on Hilchos Hafrashas Chala there is a Chelkos Binyamin which we can reuse him, a Chelkos Binyamin of Binyamin Cohn, who lives who's still alive. You know, not still alive, not so old. He's a rav in Flatbush, I think. Last I talked to him, Yoni Gesserman davened in his shul. So it's Rav Binyamin Cohn, who's the son of the Badia Shulchan or Revival Cohn. So he has on Hilchos Chala. And there's also a very helpful book by Rabbi David Cohn, not the David Cohn from Brooklyn, but the David Cohn from the CRC, who also before the CRC, worked at the OU. He's sort of like the head of rabbinic research at the CRC in Chicago. And he's put out several books on kashrus-related issues. So it happens to be that the mitzvahs, that the issue of Hafrashas Chala is one of the major we're in Yerideya, but non-strictly Yerideya sections of Yerideya that in the professional kashrus world you need to know and need to always, that's sort of like the top couple of questions that you go to a place, like, to judge whether the Rav HaMashir, though, at all knows what he's doing. It's, you know, what do they do about checking vegetables? What do they do about the fires? And what do they do about Hafrashas Chala? Like, those are sort of the questions that everybody, that professional people might ask to sort of get a sense as to whether places are at all being responsibly run. Beyond that, in Hilchos Hafrashas Chala, there's no Rambam Hilchos Chala. The laws of Hafrashas Chala are found in Hilchos Bikurim. So Hilchos Bikurim is found in the Zrayim section of the Rambam, which means that we have the Derech Emunah as well to work with. The Derech Emunah was the Sefer written by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, right, which is sort of pattern, which himself describes as sort of being a Mishnah Berurah for the area of Zrayim. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, despite the fact that he wrote many dozens of Svarim, I believe, he considers the Derech Emunah his biggest contribution. In fact, I believe there's been a couple of, on the All Daf app, the OU All Daf app, so Rabbi Brutt, make sure I got his name right. Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Brutt. So he gives a shirim on this every couple of weeks. So he's done a couple in a row on Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Derech HaLimud and his Svarim and his output and things like that. So much focus is on the Derech Emunah. And also, a lot of, apparently, he said, I didn't see about Rav Chaim Kanievsky on his Matseva, instructed that it be written the Baal Derech Emunah, meaning that he considered his work on Seder Zrayim to be his primary work. Now, he does write, I didn't find this inside yet, but while listening to one of Rabbi Dr. Brutt's talks while running last week, he made mention to that in the introduction, Rav Chaim Kanievsky makes the point that his main goal in putting out a sefer on Seder Zrayim is that there's no Lemaisa sefer written on Zrayim. The only problem is that there are, meaning there are for a few sections of Zrayim, namely section of Hafrashas Chala, as well as sections on Hilchos Tzedakah is found in Seder Zrayim. There is some Trumos, there are some things that are Klayim, there are some things that are Lemaisa, and he says, like, what can I do? You know, it's there, so I'll cover it as best as I can. We'll see what how that comes about. So, anyways, we begin now with the pasuk. So, the pasuk in the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala is found in, of all places, Parshas Shlach. Right, Parshas Shlach is normally associated just with the story of the Meraglim, but in the immediate aftermath of the story of the Meraglim, so there are a couple of mitzvahs that are given in Perek Tesvav. namely the mitzvah of Nesachim, Yai Nesachim, and then of the mitzvah of Challah, as well as certain korbanos, certain chatas, etc., things like that, which of course brings about the famous story or line of Ketzad Meraglim Lifnei Hachala. Had to make sure to get that in at some point. Why is the story of Meraglim found before the mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah? But we'll... there are, of course, many drushos that have been given along those lines. But essentially, there are several. The main point is that there are several mitzvos that are only based on when you go into Eretz Yisrael, meaning in the immediate aftermath of the story of the Meraglim. So B'nai Yisrael is being told, like, okay, you guys aren't going in now. You're going to be going in later, 40 years from now. And that seems like forever, especially because for most of the people there, it will be forever because they are not going to make it. They are going to die before going to Eretz Yisrael. That's the whole point. So therefore, as a way of encouraging them and saying that, no, don't worry, you will be going into Eretz Yisrael, there are several mitzvos having to do with the way life will be like in Eretz Yisrael that are given at that point. And namely, the mitzvah of Challah is one of those that's given. It's specifically, and that's in the Pasuk. So in the Pasuk on page one of the source sheets, I gave you the Pasuk in Chumash. Right, when you come into the land, to which I'm going to bring you. Which makes this very much sound like a mitzvah to leave Eretz. Now, of course, the mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah is something that we do outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. So we got to figure out why that is. Why is it that that we are so makbid, that the Keystone K it has to be very makbid about separating Challah, no matter what's going on, while when it comes to Trumas u'Maaseros, we say, oh, as long as it doesn't come from Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to worry about that, right? Wait a second. Why? If mitzvah of Challah is something in Eretz Yisrael, so why? What differentiates it from the other mitzvahs to Tulius Baaretz? Okay, so that's the first pasuk that's mentioned. Pasuk Yuches, when you come into the land. Number two, Vayabach Chalchem Ilechem Aretz, and when you'll eat from the Lechem Aretz, Tarimu Truma LaHashem. You will separate Truma. Now this is one of the major confusions in the story of figuring out Challah, which bears itself out in all sorts of things, like what bracha you make on this mitzvah, and that is that the Torah doesn't refer to it as Challah. The Torah refers to it as Truma, right? Truma, which is given to the Kohanim. Now, the mitzvah of Challah is mentioned, but Reishis Ariso Seichem, in Pasuk Chaf, right, the first of your kneadings, Challah Tarimu Truma, right, of the Challah, you should separate Truma, which sounds, right, so Challah, now the first, when I taught, the mitzvah of Rosh Challah was on the curriculum when I taught 6th grade Halacha in Torah Academy, and the first major confusion is trying to get them to distinguish between Challah and the Challah we eat on Shabbos. Right. The second big issue is that the pasuk refers to it. That caused that was 2 days of class right there. And then the next major issue is trying to figure out how to distinguish between truma and challah that is mentioned here. So the Torah seems to describe it as truma is what we separate, while colloquially, and not just colloquially, but in the Gemara and the Mishnah, we talk about separating challah, right? Challah from the Issa. Right, so here it's truma from the challah, and we talk about challah from the isa. Okay, but that's right. But truma is going kain tarimu osa mirushisa riso seichem tatitnu lalashem truma ledoro seichem. And from the first of your kneadings, you will give a portion to Hashem for all generations. Now, it doesn't actually say you give it to the Kohen, right? You give it to Hashem. Now, what does it mean to give it to Hashem? Well, Hashem gets to figure out what to do with it, right? So Hashem indicates that, oh, I think that it's, I'd like it to be given to the Kohen. Right, but it is not clear from the psukim that it will be given to the Kohen. Where is that clear? I guess that's true. I didn't figure out where. I assume that that's probably described in Parshas Korach, if I had to guess. Or the fact that it's called Truma indicates that it should be given, that actually should be given to a Kohen. I'll try to figure out what exactly is the source for that later on. One major issue that needs to be figured out is, okay, that's great. What is the mitzvah? How many mitzvos are there involved here? So the way the Rambam describes it We'll mention this outside first. The Rambam describes it as a mitzvah, that there is a mitzvah to separate challah. In fact, actually, that Rambam is on your sheets because it's on the first page of the page 3, 4, or 5 or so. So there's a starts is from the Sefer Derech Emunah. Right, and there, on page which says number 54 on it, so that's the first page, that's the Rambam. So I don't know, is that page 4, 3, 4?
Yeah, I think.
So the Rambam here describes it as mitzvahs asi lahafrish truma min isil lekohen, shenemar, rishisa riso seichem, to separate the truma to the kohen. As it says, rishisa riso seichem, chala terimu truma, v'rishizu ein la shir min haTorah. Now this amount doesn't have a shir, afilu hifrish kisaora. Now, there's no measurement. Even if you just mention, take away a little barley grain to be given to, to be given to the Kohen, so that's already considered to be challah. Va'osa kola isasu challah, lo asa klum, achiyar miksasu. He says, and by the way, if you just say the whole thing is going to be challah, that's not good enough either. Rather, it needs to be given, there has to be a separation. Some is given to the Kohen, or some is given to Hashem and given to the Kohen, and some is kept for us. Now, there is a big machlokas, it's unclear how big it is. It's actually part of the issue as to how many mitzvos we are talking about here, right? There's one mitzvah, obviously, of separating things out. What could be the other mitzvah? What could be an additional mitzvah that might be mentioned here? So the mitzvah would be giving it to the Kohen. So if we separate it out, that's mitzvah one. Is giving to the Kohen considered to be mitzvah two? So the Rambam only describes it as one mitzvah. Right? That's his position here. Now, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he didn't put it down there, so I don't want to spend that much time on this, but it might be keep coming back to this. But in the Sefer HaMitzvos, so there, the Ramban argues on the Rambam, and it says, no, there's two mitzvahs. There's mitzvah A, to separate the challah, and mitzvah number two, to give it over to the Kohen. And then maybe there might be a losa say of that. Without doing that, it's considered to be tevel. So the Ramban says it there. Now, the only thing is, the Ramban does not include it in his additional list of mitzvos. Meaning, when the Ramban in the end of the Sefer HaMitzvos, so the Ramban, is arguing with the Rambam. So again, there are some mitzvos that the Rambam listed as mitzvos that the Rambam said are not mitzvos, and there are some things that the Rambam says that the Rambam left out. Now, they both have to come up with 613, but you would expect, as I expected to find when I opened up the back of the Minchas Chinuch, where the Ramban's mitzvos are listed, to find this as one of those mitzvos there, but it's not listed there. So even though the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos argues and says, really, there's two mitzvos here, for some reason, he does not count them as two individual mitzvos with regards to the Sheva mitzvos, with regards to his count of 613 mitzvos. Okay, that's one. That's one issue there. How would that be? Meaning, how would one resolve that? So one could say that the Rambam's that the idea is to separate it out. And what really is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to separate it for Hashem. Once you've done that, you've done the mitzvah. Now Hashem says, okay, what do you do with this stuff? You give it to the Kohen, but that's not necessarily the mitzvah of Chal. Mitzvah of Chal is separating something out for Hashem, and then Hashem tells you what to do with it, but it's not necessarily an individual, separate part of the mitzvah. That's perhaps what the Rambam would argue. Now, what to do with the fact that the Ramban sort of half-heartedly argues? Not sure. Not sure what that is. You know, you got to be a bigger expert in how the Ramban's Derech HaLimud, how exactly to understand that, to figure out what's going on there. But anyways, that's issue number one. Is there one mitzvah, two mitzvahs? The Rambam says one. The Ramban in one place says that it's two. Elsewhere perhaps indicates that he maybe either agrees or doesn't seriously take it, doesn't mean so seriously that it's actually two. Okay, and with that, even though there's not much in the Beis Yosef, so I just said, let's just take a look straight into the Shulchan Aruch here. So in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Chaf Beis Sif Aleph. It's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch here sort of gives an overview and then gets into more details as you move along. So, sometimes he does it, sometimes he doesn't. But in Shin Chaf Beis Aleph, it says, Mitzvahs Asei, Lahafrish Trumas Mea Isa, Velitna Lekoin, give it to a Kohen, Shinemar Rishis Arusis Sichem, Chala Terimu Truma. Right, so you quoted that Pasuk. So Rishis ze ein lo shir min haTorah, and this rishis, this first amount, there is no measure that's given in the Torah, right? Afilu hifrish kisora, even if a tiny amount like a barley, peta patar esa isa va usakein isaso chala lo asoklum. And if you make the entire isa chala, also you haven't done anything until you leave some over. So there has to be a separation. Now umidivrei sofrim. Derabanan, we say mafrishin echad michaf dalin mina isa. Derabanan, we mentioned this idea from the Mishnah in Maseches Challah that you take off 1/24. I think that's halacha Moshe Sinai. Maybe when we get to the shir later on, we'll see if that's what that is exactly. But it's 1/24. When we divri so chaf dalin, well, it says here midivri sofrim. It's where they came with the number. I'm not sure. Va'anachtum va'osa limkor b'shuk mafrish echad mimem ches. Inachtum is a baker. So if you're a baker who is separating challah to sell at the market, so he separates 1/48. So 1/24 for a regular person separating that's baking in their house, and 1/48 if it's being commercialized. Now, it's not as relevant as we might think for later, as we'll see later on. But if it's tamei anyways, so then even a balabayas could separate 1/48. Our minug, the Ramah mentions later on, our minug is to separate a kezias. We'll get to how that came to be later on. But there's this thing, 1/24 for a regular person, 1/48. That's the amount, that's what you'll generally see in the Mishnah and the Gemara when it describes this mitzvah. Now, why would we be makel when it comes to the bakery here? So the Shach here says, why? Dimishum hefsid mimkaro hekilubo. That because of the loss, right, you are causing a loss here. So therefore they were makel with him. And that's Valarambam, he says, no, hatam lefi shanachtum isasum aruba. It's because he makes a lot. V'yish b'shir zeh k'dei matana. And there's an amount in the 1/48, an amount to give anyways. Vafilu osi isa katana, even if he makes a small amount, you still take 1/48. Shola chalik b'isas anachtum, because we're not going to distinguish between big bakers and little bakers. V'chein be'amearetz, afilu osi isa, well, Ame Aretz, but referring to somebody in the house. Not sure why. Even if he separates a large Isa, Kagon Lemishta, but no. For instance, he's making a wedding. Still, if he's not a professional baker, you still separate 1/24. Shol Lechach, Isa's a Balabatim, Ad Kanvar. V'chein Kazabar Tanur, V'chein Muver B'Yushalmi, Sof Perik Beis Lechala, V'Viyu Beis Yosef Lekaman, Reish Shem and Shin Chavchas. And we'll get to that cheer as we, a little bit later on. So we say 1/24, 1/48, and even though somebody in their private house might make a lot of dough because they're having, I don't know, a lot of guests on Shabbos, and someone in a bakery might be making a little amount, like a caterer might be making a small amount, they don't really separate challah too much. Really, you only get to the amount of, really, if it's only bread and like real doughs that you have a challah issue. Usually cakes and cookies are not going to get you to the amount that you need to be mafrish challah for. So it's 1/24. So 1/24 for commercial, 1/48 for private use, and whatever. That
I'll go around.
Sorry, 1/24 for private use, 1/24 for a 1/24 for private use, 1/48 for a baker, and even though sometimes it might end up being more or less, still low plug rabban. That's the general understanding here. Now there is a famous no de Yehuda that is quoted here in the Piskei Tshuva. So right off the bat, and we'll probably come back to this no de Yehuda a few times, but the no de Yehuda here in that first Piskei Tshuva on the bottom, so he says, Ayin b'tshuva no de Yehuda t'yan chelik yoredeya sinem reish aleph, shechidish baze inyan amok, where he has a deep chiddush, an important chiddush, which shows up regularly here. Why? He says, Shemitzus hafreshes chala yeshbo beis inyanim. Now, putting aside that machlokas Rambam and Ramban, the Noda Bihuda says, even according to the Rambam, there's no denying that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah. And he says, the taking and the giving, right? You take off a piece and you give it to the Kohen. So he says, Echad hu lahafkia iser tevel min isa. He says, number one is to remove the iser of tevel. So by separating challah, by taking an amount off, it's no longer tevel. However, and for that, vasheni litna l'kohen. And the second aspect is giving to the Kohen. So v'shnei inyanim elu chalukim zemizeh. And these two are separate from one another. Shaliftor isa ein lo shir klal. He says, yes, it's true that do'raisa, there's no shir to separate the challah, but that's only when you're separating the challah. Min ha'Torah, v'chita achas poter sesak kol akri. And and one chita, one grain, will exempt the whole pile. Amnam kadei l'kayim mitzvahs nesina, but to fulfill the giving aspect, yishlo shir min ha'Torah. That has a shir min ha'Torah. Kim d'chsiv titnu, tzarek sheyehei kadei nesina. Because it says you have to give, there has to be an amount that you're giving. So what is that shir? Hazeh, so v'shir hazeh, shu echad michav dalid, o echad miyam ches, hu min ha'Torah, b'tzad, u midrabanan b'tzad. So therefore this shir is 1/24. So this shear of 1/24 or 1/48, there's a d'oraisa aspect and there's a d'rabbanan aspect. When there's the d'rabbanan aspect is to separate. I mean, to separate the amount, you only need to separate a tiny amount. But to give to a kohen, that you actually have to give something. What is that amount? So it's this 1/24 or 1/48. V'nechaz derech mashal shehu echa michafdal v'zehu shear chashuv. I mean, why? That is a shear chashuv. Now, the Torah doesn't really define that shear. It's more of a, I think it's that we figured out this is the amount that was established as the shear nesina that is necessary. So the kibitzas nesina. Amnam zeu shear echa michav dalad v'yisaron shu shear chala v'shuv ein chiluk min ha'Torah ima isu yisaron echad o mimeyasa. But then once we've given that percentage, so it doesn't matter whether it's how large the amount is. V'tzachud midrabanan hu cholik chav dalad. And I actually had the second page of Shulchan Aruch is the last of your pages there. Min isa kamoshehi v'im gedol chav dalad. And go take a look in the Noda Bihuda where he literally nails it down, right? The cover above masmeros, right? He fixes it with nails. He figures out this principle that you can give a tiny amount in terms of taking, but if you're going to give it to the Kohen to fulfill that mitzvah, you have to have more. So the giving requires a shear, even on the level of d'oraisa. That is the Noda Bihuda's chiddush, right? So even though he said the Shulchan Aruch right off the bat says there's no shear, and the Rabbanan came along and figured out, the shear for taking, but for giving, there always was a minimal amount that needed to be given. Now, just the right off the bat, also here, in the Sefer Derech Emunah, so on this first page here, so he quotes this Noda Bihuda, where was it? In the section where it says Derech Emunah, four lines from the bottom on the first page, so in the section Dalid, he says Vereishis ze ein la shir min haTorah. He says V'yesh k'tzas rishonim desfir le d'dafka l'inyan liftor esayisa mitevel salgi b'chol shehu aval mitzvos nesina lo yikayim elin keim iti nesina chashuva. He quotes this from Rishonim, that this is the Noda Bihuda's idea. There are Rishonim that hold this, that say that there's only no shear for the taking, but for the giving, you need a giving amount. Aval das rov Rishonim shigam mitzvos nesina kayim min haTorah b'chol shehu. But most Rishonim hold that even for the mitzvah of giving, even kol shehu would be okay. And now the Derech Emunah here is split. There's a Derech Emunah and there's the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha is sort of the same as the Bir Halacha in the Mishnah Berurah. Then the Tzion Halacha are the notes for the Halacha, right? So the same way the Shar HaTzion is in the Mishnah Berurah, so he calls it here the Tzion Halacha. So in the Tzion Halacha, number, where is it there? Zion, he says, Tziyanti be Perek Gimel b'Truma Salach Aleph in Truma, the same idea by Truma v'Hudin Kan. Benir Dize Gamkin Das Rashi b'Menachos Ayin Zayin. The Shir Chal Echa Mivem Ches v'Rashi Ksav Yad Sham Kasev Echa Mechav Dalid v'Chim Perish. I don't know what that is. Reish Gimel Mem Hey Sham v'Sham Mayim Midoraisa Ayin Sham v'Chim Kasev Anodu B'Yehuda. Now, why he's not picking on the he's picking on the Noda Behuda a little bit. He said, you think this is a big Chiddush, but really you see it's a Beferish Rashi in Menachos. Okay, I don't know. I didn't look up the Rashi to see why, how clear that is. But he says, V'chein Nira Das HaRidbaz. And so too, I think that's the opinion of the Ridbaz. But then he continues on and says, but I think that most Rishonim actually are against this Chiddush. And you can take a look in my section on Hilchos Trumos, where he goes through this a little bit more in depth. Okay, so there is this hovering Chiddush idea out there from the Noda Behuda and perhaps from others that there is perhaps a shear that is necessary in order to be Yotze the mitzvah of giving. Yeah.
This is maybe a little off topic, but you know the Book of Rus, at one point it says that Boaz asked her to hold out a shawl and he gave her 6 seorin. Now I see that Ospel translates it as 6 measures, but other translations are actually 6 grains of barley.
So you're saying that's below a shear nesina, you're suggesting?
You would think that it would be a very little, that maybe a shear nesina is really not very high. If you translate it that way, I don't know how she could fit 6 measures in her shawl. You know, I assume that would be a lot. But anyway, just
I don't know what 6 measures means. But okay.
That's changed the order, really. Met added by old school.
I hear. Anyway, all right. Okay.
Side point.
Okay.
What about the amount that you I guess you have to produce a certain amount of dough in order to be chayv in challah.
Yes.
Have we gotten there yet?
No. No, we're not. No, we haven't gotten up there yet. Wait, what is the minimal amount? Where does this idea of 5 pounds come from and all that?
So five pounds.
That's right. That's down the road. Okay, so Sif Beis here says Ein Chayvim B'Chal Min HaTorah El Be'aretz Yisrael B'Levash Ne'amar V'Yabal Chalcha Milechem Ha'aretz. That right, the pasuk says when you eat from the lechem of the land, and then it adds in Uvizman Shekol Yisrael Sham. So long as all of Yisrael is there, Shne'amar B'Voachem Bias Kolchem V'Lo Bias Miksasam. That when you come in there, meaning you have Bias Kolchem and not only some of you. Now, this is familiar to us from other mitzvahs to lose parts. It seems like it needs to be based on when that's based on having the majority of Bnei Yisrael there, or at least, here it says all Bnei Yisrael, but we assume that Rubu Kakula, they have a majority of Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, so then one would be, so that only that is when one would be chayv. Now, right. So, okay. So, V'nan Shekol Yisrael Sham, Shenemar V'achem V'yes Kulchem, V'lo B'yes Miksasim, L'ficha Chala B'zman Hazeh, Afilu B'mei Ezra Be'eretz Yisrael, Enu Ela Midivrehem. So, therefore, Rav Yosef Karo says, right, and he's writing in Eretz Yisrael, right, but he says, but therefore, Chala today, and even at the time of Ezra, in Eretz Yisrael, is only a Din D'Rabban. Okay? Why is that? So the Shachir says, Sherei lo alu kol Yisrael imo, because not all the Jews went up with him. Now, the implication of that is, had all the Jews gone up with him, so then it would have been a din d'oraisa. Now, who does he mean by all the Jews? Right? Do all the Jews mean all the Jews? Or all the Jews means all the Jews that we know about? Right? So because already at that time, right, there already were missing 10 tribes, right? Now, if you are really interested in on the Svarim Chatter podcast is running a 10-part series right now on the 10 lost tribes in Jewish thought. What's going on with all with that? But there is a sort of question of what relevance do they have to this halacha? Because any time that you hear somebody, this comes up more when you hear it more talked about with regards to the mitzvah of Shemitah, right? The mitzvah of Shemitah is the same halacha, or seem perhaps maybe The same, it sounds like the same halacha, that we have to have all of Klal Yisrael there in order, or a rove of Klal Yisrael there, in order for the mitzvah of Shemitah to be d'oraisa, right? Somewhat based on that pasuk on the Liberty Bell, right? Where on the Liberty Bell it says, right, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all its inhabitants thereof, right? Ukrasem dor lo aretz l'chol yoshveh aleha. Now, l'chol yoshveh aleha is actually meet perhaps Rav Chaim, there's a piece in Rav Chaim al Rambam, which I'll mention shortly, right, where the where he suggests that there's a difference between bias, what we refer to as bias kulchem, versus this pasuk. Of kol Yisrael aleha. He suggests there's actually two different. There's two dinim going on there, but I wasn't able to work through what exactly his distinction was. But anyways, he says, so the mitzvah of chal is only d'oraisa when everybody's there, and not if only a small amount of Klal Yisrael is there. Now, when every time this comes up, people say, "Hey, well, nowadays, if you take a world census of the Jewish people, so we are approaching the point where there are more Jews in Eretz Yisrael than there are in the rest of the world combined. I think we are already well past the point that there are more Jews in Eretz Yisrael than there are in any other country in the world. But now we are." They suggest that we're getting to where all of them will be there. Now, does that mean then that the mitzvah of challah is going to become d'oraisa? And what exactly is the difference? So that we'll have to see what exactly the difference we'll hold off on. But would the mitzvah of challah actually become d'oraisa? So some say, yeah, right, it will become mitzvah d'oraisa. There is perhaps a reason to suggest that it won't. So one is from Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim says that, actually, take a look. This is in the Derech Emunah here. Where is it? Page, there you go. Page 58. Which I'm not sure what it is for you. On the Rambam where it says, on the Rambam in the Rambam Halacha Hey, Perek Hey Halacha Hey. So in the Derech Emunah in Chav Tes, right, where this is actually a quote from the Rambam. He said where the Rambam says, Leficha chal bizman hazeh, afilu b'nei Ezra b'Eretz Yisrael, eino ela midivreihem, as we explain in the mitzvah of Truma. So the Chav Tes on the bottom, afilu b'mei Ezra, so says the Derech Emunah here, says Rav Chaim, shegam az lo alu ela miyutan, v'rubam nishar b'bavel. Most people stayed in Bavel. V'od shasaras shvatim lo alu. And also 10 shvatim didn't come up. What does he mean by that? So in the footnote here, he quotes that from the Ramban in the Sefer Hazchus in Gittin Lamed Vav Amar Aleph. What is the Rambam Sefer Hazchus? So the Rambam, the Ramban has a parish in the Gemara, right, on the Rif, where I'm not sure, I forget which one is which, but the Ramban is usually called the Milchamos Hashem, right? There's the Baal Hamor, Mor HaGadol, Mor HaKatan, and the Ramban argues against, where the Baal Hamor is picking on the Rif, and the Ramban argues against the Baal Hamor. Some Masechtas he calls it the Milchamos Hashem, right? The war is on behalf of Hashem to fight back against the Baal Hamor, against the, when he, all the arguments on the Rif, and sometimes it's called the Sefer HaSchus, that he, being Melamed Schus, for the Rif against the attacks of the Baal Hamor. But either way, in Maseches Gittin, there he comments that, no, you need, because 10 Shvatim haven't come up. What do we care that 10 Shvatim haven't come up? That perhaps it's not just the din that you need to have numerically the amount of the majority of the Jewish people in the world, but you also need to have the Shvatim present as well. That it's not just, in order for these dinim to become d'oraisa, it's not just a numerical, it's not just the popular vote, you also need the electoral college, right? You also need the presence of all of the states, or of all of the Shvatim. To be present, and that perhaps would mean, so therefore that would mean that these halachos are not necessarily, you know, going to be d'oraisa, just because the Pew Research Center declares that the majority of Jews are in Eretz Yisrael over the rest of the world. He adds in here as well, he says, when we call makom Ezra Kiddush Kedusha Shnei Liolam, she'im yavo kulam yuchayvim min haTorah. He says now, Ezra was Mekadesh the Kedusha forever, in that if there are the majority come, so then it would work. He says, however, maybe that's only for Trumas U'Maisros. Balinyan Chala, Yishlomer Kivan Shatzarach Kiddush Chodesh, In Kiddush Rizman HaGalos, Mashkazar Rabbeinu Kosh Yibyarim Mitrumos, Eno L'chol HaPratim. Right, it's not with all of the details here. What's going on here? So Rav Chaim, Al Rambam, he suggests this. He says that, you know, Ezra was established Kedushas Haaretz, right, the Kedusha Shnia, the Kedusha of the Olei Bavel, but there wasn't the majority of Jews there, so therefore you can't establish these dinim as being dinim d'oraisa. Now, what happens if, after the time of Ezra, the majority of the Jews show up? So Rav Chaim says, no, it doesn't work, right? You need to have the Kedusha to be in place with, you need to have somebody establish the Kedusha when there is the majority of the Jewish people there. Rav Chaim says you need both to happen simultaneously at the same time. The Chazon Ish argues, and that's what Rav Chaim here is quoting, right? The Chazon Ish argues and says, no, that the Ezra's thing set in motion the possibility of there being Dini D'Oraisa as soon as there is the majority of Jewish people there. But Rav Chaim here suggests maybe that's only for Trumas U'Maisros and not necessarily for Challah. But either way, there seem to be several reasons to say that the mitzvah of challah is not d'oraisa b'zman hazeh, and even if the majority of Jewish people are found in Eretz Yisrael, still it's not going to be d'oraisa until something else happens, whatever that something else potentially would be. Meaning some other type of way of like a Sanhedrin developing or some other way, or nevuah restarting or some other way of establishing the malchus in a way such that it would have kedushin d'oraisa. Okay, so that is sif beis in the Shulchan Aruch. Sif gimel then says now. So he says that we're not again. Sif beis was challah is not d'oraisa except for in Eretz Yisrael. But bismana therefore challah bismana zeh is only d'rabban. Okay. Now, Chal B'zman HaZeh, where? Right? So the Sif Gimel then says, Mafrishin Chal B'chutz La'aretz B'divrei Sofrim, K'dei Shelo Tishtakech Toras Chala Mi'Yisrael. Then we separate Chala in Chutz La'aretz in order not to forget the din of Chala in general. So it seems, and it becomes pretty clear, that there are, and it's clear, actually, in the next sif, it becomes clear, right? There's actually three levels now of Hafrashas Chala. Number one is in Eretz Yisrael, when you have Rov of Klal Yisrael there in Kedushas Haaretz, in which case, it's D'oraisa. Then you have the second level, when it's only, where you have the majority, where you don't have the majority of Klal Yisrael there, but you're in Eretz Yisrael, where it's D'Rabbanan. And then Medivrei Sofrim, whatever that means exactly, the difference between Medivrei Sofrim and Derabanan. But Medivrei Sofrim, we have an additional idea that we're even going to do Chala in Chutz La'aretz so that we don't forget the halacha of Chala in Eretz Yisrael. So that we'll know to keep track of this. Now that should immediately raise the question of, well, why only Chala then, right? Why are we not concerned about Trumas U'Maisros, right? Why don't we say that any produce produced by Jewish people in, a backyard garden in Wynwood, right? We should say it should be Chayav and Trumas U'Maisros. Because that way everybody will forget. We'll remember that there's an idea of Trumas U'Maisros. And the truth is, that would also help that every time produce from Eretz Yisrael shows up, there won't be this complete freakout about Oyvei, this produce from Eretz Yisrael that showed up. Everybody avoid giant today because there's three peppers from Eretz Yisrael, right? People will know. You take off Trumas U'Maisros. What's the big deal, right? So why is it only if the issue is we don't want to forget that there's such a thing as separating challah? Why don't we also say, okay, great, so let's separate Trumas U'Maisros so that we don't forget that there's such a thing as separating Trumas U'Maisros. And that would be nice, because especially Maisros don't have to be eaten Betara. So therefore, maybe we could, while Chala we don't actually give to a Kohen because of Tumah Betara issues, Maiser we could give to Leviim. So therefore, the Horowitzes would get a nice salad every Shabbos, free of charge, by virtue of the fact that he's a Levi. So the Derech Emunah here on page Lamed, so the next page from where we were, so in number Lamed Tes there, so he spells this out, B'chutz La'aretz. And he says, B'chol chutz La'aretz, V'lo dami l'trumus u'maisus. And it's not like trumus u'maisus, Shego gazu ela b'dalet aratzos, ov makom hasmuchim, where it was only established in places close to Eretz Yisrael. Now, probably we'll have to save this for next week, about the different lands. There's several, we talked about this before I left in Shul, about the different statuses in Eretz Yisrael of the land. And then there's also areas surrounding Eretz Yisrael, which also has an additional level of Kedusha there. But he says, it's not like Trumas U'maisos. Shelo gazu ela bedalat aratzos, o mokomos asmuchim, kon shesbar bereishel chos Trumas. Why? She Trumas U'maisos eina noagos ela b'mi sheyesh lo karkos. He says, because Trumas U'maisos is only noag by people that own land. Aval chala, Shataloi begilgal v'chol adam megalgal chayvuhu b'chol makom. But chala is not about owning the land; it's about anybody who makes bread, and everybody makes bread. So therefore, we're going to be chayvit because it's going to be more widespread. Va'od shebuchutzlaris hakarkos mishubadus lamelach v'avi kakarka shelgoy. He says that also in chutzlaris, even if you own land, the land really belongs to the king. Now, I don't think this would apply nowadays in America, but actually, but in, you know, in Europe, that was the way the feudal system was set up, right? It sort of belonged to the king. So therefore, even if you own land, you didn't really own land. So therefore, there's no need for trumas u'maisos, raku komas hasmuchim. Aval chala noy b'chol o'se isa. That's by anybody who makes dough. Ve'ein shaykh la'karka. And therefore, that's not considered to be therefore it's not connected to karka. I was actually listening yesterday on my run during the race. So I listened. There's a Jewish history podcast of a soundbite, Jewish history soundbites. So he, about Rav Shlomo Kluger. So he's talking, so Shlomo Kluger, he's making the point how Shlomo Kluger really dealt with, he lived in Galicia in the 1800s. He was really a main posek in the Hasidic, even though he might have been even anti-Hasidic a little bit, but still the Hasidim all came to him for psak. And he was, he was fighting against, trying to acclimate to modernity, but also have figured some ways fighting against it. So he made mention. He mentioned that he has a tshuva about something about farming. The tshuva is about something about farming, about doing, you know, how to resolve things that have to be done on Shabbos. And he makes comments that, really Jews shouldn't be involved with this because of this issue, because of the things that you're going to have to be doing on Shabbos. So Regerer made the comment that, he says, why is that a modern issue? Because Jews were never allowed to own land before that. He's living during the period of emancipation when all of a sudden Jews were beginning to be allowed to own land. So therefore he might be ossering something. Why all of a sudden now are you ossering something in the 1800s, right? What about the 100-year? Well, it wasn't relevant the years before because Jews weren't permitted to own land. In fact, now it just connected to me. One of the things I had for my reading material last week was Rabbi Dr. David Katz's PhD on the Node of Yehuda. So he describes the Node of Yehuda living in Brody. So Brody was sort of an intellectual hub. Now Shlomo Kluger was the Rav in Brody. He became the Rav in Brody after the Node of Yehuda had already died. But the Node of Yehuda learned in Brody before moving to Prague. And apparently the town of Brody became a prominent town because the king, or whoever was overseeing that land, had lost a lot of money in one of the wars. And one of the ways he tried to figure out a way to sort of build his capital back up was to invite all the Jews there to run businesses, to sort of set up a big mercantile exchange and not tax the Jews so highly, so that Jews would come in and move there and bring all sorts of commercial activity there and things like that. So I was thinking, Shlomo Brody, Brody already, even still a couple decades later, Shlomo Kluger is still carrying on that tradition by saying Jews should be businessmen, they shouldn't be in the fields anywhere, right, in order to keep up the customs in Brody of all the Jews being in charge of mercantile exchanges and things like that. Okay, so fine. So far we have covered this 124th, 148th, the Shir Nesina idea of giving, the idea that there is an idea of Chal and Chutz La'aretz. Now, the problem is that there's many Gemaras that seem to, when it talks about Chala, that don't at all seem to resemble the way we separate challah today. That it seems to talk about, meaning, if we're going to do this as remembering the idea of giving challah, so what's the idea of giving challah? You give it to a kohen. So we don't do that anymore. Now, the Gemara does talk about giving it to a kohen, despite the fact that people were tameh. So how exactly did this halacha change? What's going on here? So that we'll have to hold off until next week to try to decipher some of these halachos here. All right. So good start. Here's Hashem. We'll pick up again next week. When is the Shalom Zachar, Calvin? I mean the Pidyon HaBen?